People of Brazil are not giving up, continue to fight for their country. Patriotic supporters of former President Jair Bolsonaro, who believed the presidential election was stolen, stormed into Congress, presidential offices, and the Supreme Court in the Capitol on Sunday. At least 400 people were arrested. Protesters have been infuriated with the Supreme Court after failing to uphold the Brazilian people's wishes for election integrity. For months now, we've been talking about the tensions building in Brazil over allegations that the Supreme Court rigged the election in President Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva's favor. In a tweet on Sunday, President Lula blamed this on Jair Bolsonaro and his supporters. Let's welcome back independent journalist Matthew Tierman, who has been really on the forefront of this reporting. Now I'm watching this, Matt, and I'm seeing the narratives in corporate media. It was interesting. It even got covered by my local news station in Central Virginia this morning, and I was a bit surprised. But of course, it was like this messaging that we see that, you know, they're denying the election, and it really parallels what we saw in the United States. And a lot of people feel that with the storming of the Capitol and their public buildings, this also parallels January 6th. There's a lot of mixed messaging. Can you clarify for us, Matt, what exactly is happening right now?
Well, sure. And we did talk about in all the months, and really there have only been a few outlets that have covered this from soup to nuts, from the lead into the election between the first round and the second round. Yeah, the start of the protest movement. And, you know, hats off to you, hats off to Bannon, hats off to Tucker and the Hoff brothers at Gateway Pundit, because that's basically it. And so now we did talk about that when Lula took over, when there was going to be some sort of catalytic event, the global mainstream media would all of a sudden get interested and utilize it to push forward a narrative that they can cement whatever gains, whether they're honest or not. Whether it was, you know, an invocation of Article 142, which should not come to pass, or what we just saw transpire yesterday. And it's predictable. It's 100% predictable. Look, nobody was hurt except one Bolsonaro supporter. I don't even want to use the word Bolsonaro supporter. One protester, because this is not even about Bolsonaro anymore. Bolsonaro's gone. Bolsonaro's in exile. He's in Florida. My guess is he's going to Italy because the U.S. government will try and participate in an extradition and hand him over to Lula. So this is not about Bolsonaro. This is about the people of Brazil en masse. And by the way, last night in Brasilia, chants across the canyons of apartment buildings yelling about Zandau, which is the pejorative nickname of Alexandre Moraes. Yesterday at a galleria, a mall, the entire food court was chanting pejoratives about Lula, just like we had covered a month ago at one of the sport events. Lula is a thief. Lula belongs in prison. The overwhelming sentiment in society is this is dishonest, is the protesters have credence in their complaints about the evisceration of the Constitution. They're being ignored. The Supreme Court is accelerating their mass arrests, their freezing bank accounts. There, we've talked about pastors being arrested. We've talked about the chief of the Givenchy tribe, who's still in jail from when they took him after the certification. And my intel tells me that they're putting pressure, physical pressure, on torturing him to compel him to write an apology to Moraes that they can publicly air. This is right out of Stalin. And as an interesting corollary with that, Lula yesterday in his press conference obviously attacked the protesters in the movement and said, this is fascism, this is Stalinism. And then he corrected himself. No, not Stalinism, this is fascism. Because if you recall, Lula's a hardcore Marxist. He admires Stalin. In fact, 20 years ago, he said in an interview, he admires Hitler and Khomeini. And of course, these things are swept under the rug. To even discuss them is to get into it with the court, where they will threaten you with arrest.
What you'll also see in that footage that we've been playing is that there are protesters who are asking for the source code. So that's the source code to their voting machines. That's something we've also tried to get in the United States in the essence of transparency and have not been successful in retrieving as well.
That's exactly right. The key to this, the whole predicate of this protest movement, obviously there was a in the 2 years leading up, we saw an acceleration of censorship and imprisoning journalists, imprisoning people who questioned the legitimacy of the court actions. But what it came down to after the election is people saw anomalies. You know, I covered this deeply, a lot of articles in CDM Press for those who want to actually drill down on the statistical anomalies, the down ballot correlations that make no sense or lack of correlation. But people wanted the machines, the tabulation data, and the source code. And the Electoral Court, which reports to this corrupt Supreme Court with a Chief Justice who oversees both bodies, the Supreme Court and the Electoral Court, Alexander Marias, they have been blocked out from every legitimate attempt, including a military mandatory, constitutionally endowed audit, especially when there's a dispute and there's questions that are circling. The military has a constitutional role to play in adjudicating these separated powers disputes. And the court said, no, we're just going to ignore it. The Bolsonaro's political party, the Liberal Party, PL, they also filed a petition with the court. How did that end? That ended with the head of the party being fined on behalf of the party, 22 million reais, $5 million, give or take, and being threatened with criminal prosecution and investigation. So we're in a arena of so much overt thuggishness and constitutional evisceration. Why wouldn't the people protest? They are not going to go like lambs to the slaughter into Venezuelan communism, which is what Lula wants to bring them into. Again, when people tell you who they are, believe them. Lula being the founder of the Sao Paulo Forum, who incubated Chavez, Maduro, Ortega, Morales, Kirchner, Fernandez, AMLO. Every Latin American Marxist dictator has been mentored by Lula. Lula and his people say Maduro's hard-fought Venezuelan democracy is something to be emulated and extolled. These are his words. He is telling the people who he is. Of course, Joe Biden and the global elite are just happy to have somebody who will play globalist games with them, and they will send 220 million Brazilians into a Venezuelan-style, Cuban-style communist slavery. And the people are saying no. They remember dictatorship. They remember the military dictatorship from the 80s. They remember what Latin American oppressiveness can look like. And they built a decent, robust democracy, never better than under Bolsonaro. The economy was booming. Their freedoms were protected. They had free worship because Bolsonaro is a Christian. Many Brazilians, most Brazilians are Christian. And under communism, that dies. They do not want to see their freedom and democracy die.
So let me ask you, what I think is the central figure here is the military. There had been, as we just discussed, some expectation that they might step in based on the Brazilian constitution. Now, I would suspect that the new president is going to make changes in the military very soon, right? I mean, at what point does, I guess I'm asking, is there any chance that the military still might help the people? And at what point will they then be weaponized against the people? Because I would expect that's the next shoe to drop, right?
Absolutely. Lula and his people had already telegraphed in the week ahead of the inauguration that he would be putting in his own generals as this sort of high command, the equivalent of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Now, what's interesting is in the Brazilian military, the vast majority of officers, they sign an open letter, which is unprecedented, 170 of the highest ranking officers. And these are the people who are most in touch with the masses on the ground, the rank and file. And they wanted the military audit to be completed and suggested Article 142 as a remedy to this overreach by the courts and the constitutional evisceration. I do think that they're going to go in and they're going to do the same thing that Austin did, the SecDef in the U.S. You know, they used VAX as a way of separating the bulls from the sheep. They want sheep. They want those that are easily malleable who cannot think for themselves. Well, right now, the National Guard, who they threatened to send in yesterday and they utilized to some smallish level because the protesters weren't overwhelmingly violent. There was not a war on the ground. They occupied an empty building. There were some leftist agitators who started to do damage. On that video, as you can see very clearly on social media, who those people breaking windows really are, much like Jan 6th. But they did not send in because they have not been able to do this yet, is to eject all those, check their social media, see who believes in, you know, freedom versus who will just jump in with the Lula Marxist project. I do think it's going to happen. But right now, the cues we're getting from the military is that last night, the federal police that reports to the court was told by Marias, it's now time to disband the protests that are living in tents and in communities outside the barracks. And the military said to the protesters, do not leave our vicinity because we cannot protect you. So there was a standoff last night, multiple around Brasilia, where you have these camps where the protesters were being protected by the military from being busted up, broken up by the local and federal police. We'll see what happens as it escalates.
Extremely concerning. Yeah, I have a lot of respect for those brave Brazilian people continuing to raise their voices. Thank you so much, Matt Tamaran, for the update. Good to see you.